We have the latest export and cattle industry news, plus cow nutrition prior to weaning those calves. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart.
And I'm Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck.
A big thank you goes out to our partners, RanchChannel.com, Superior Livestock Productions and Superior Livestock Auctions, Wolf Cattle, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Top Dollar Angus, Transova Genetics, Axiota Animal Health, bringing us Multimin and Lactopro, the American Galvey Association, Imogene Ingredients, bringing us Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, the Tri-State Livestock News, RFD-TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. Cow Country News, you know, the cow stuff.
The United States and China have agreed to extend their current tariff truce for another 90 days, avoiding a fresh round of steep retaliatory trade measures. A joint statement issued last Monday confirmed that existing high, but not crippling, tariff rates will remain in place during this extension. This decision comes after months of trade tension that have severely impacted U.S. agricultural exports to mainland China. In 2024, U.S. beef exports to China were valued at nearly $1.6 billion, but trade disruptions this year have sharply reduced shipments. Pork exports worth $1.1 billion last year and poultry exports totaling $481 million have also suffered. The dispute escalated rapidly in early April, with tariffs climbing to 145% or more on Chinese goods and at least 125% on U.S. products. The tit-for-tat increases prompted a trade war ceasefire in May, reducing base rates to 30% on Chinese imports and 10% on U.S. exports. These lower rates were renewed in June and have now been extended again just before the latest deadline. April's 172% import tax on U.S. pork dropped to 57% in May, allowing pork export volumes to rebound close to 2024 levels. However, for the first half of 2025, U.S. pork exports to China remain down 19% by volume and 17% by value. While tariffs remain a challenge, U.S. beef exports have been hurt even more by China's continued refusal to renew registrations for most American processing facilities. In June, U.S. beef exports to mainland China plunged 77% by volume and nearly 81% by value compared to last year. According to the joint statement, the 90-day extension follows late July negotiations in Stockholm, with more talks expected in the coming months. Agricultural industry leaders remain hopeful that further progress could lead to reduced tariffs and the removal of non-tariff trade barriers. Japan's tariff on U.S. beef will remain at 21.6% under the new framework trade agreement announced last month, while most U.S. pork continues to enter the Japanese market tariff-free. According to U.S. Meat Export Federation President Dan Hellstrom, these rates keep American beef and pork on a level playing field with global competitors, thanks to the 2020 U.S.-Japan trade agreement negotiated during the first Trump administration. Japan's chief trade negotiator visited Washington, D.C. last week to finalize details of U.S.-Japan trade and investment agreement, which was announced in July but released with few specifics. The latest framework ensures that existing tariff rates remain competitive while both sides work toward a more comprehensive agreement. This is how critical the Japanese market is for U.S. meat exports. Top destination for beef by volume in 2024, narrowly ahead of South Korea and Mexico. Second largest buyer by value of U.S. pork at nearly $1.4 billion. Second largest buyer by volume of U.S. beef at almost $1.9 billion. The 21.6% beef tariff, currently the highest of any major market for the U.S. beef, is set to gradually decline to 9% by 2033. This phased reduction will improve U.S. competitiveness in the premium Japanese market over the next decade. Japan remains one of the most important and profitable markets for U.S. beef and pork exports. The continuation of favorable trade terms ensures American producers can compete head-to-head with suppliers from Australia, Canada, and other key exporters. That's all for the news, but go nowhere. The Ranch It Up radio show will be right back.
Attention cattle producers! Boost your herd's trace mineral status with Axiota Animal Health's Multi-Min 90. This injectable solution delivers essential trace minerals known to support cattle health and reproduction. Don't settle for less when it comes to your herd health. Trust Axiota Animal Health to keep your cattle in prime condition. Visit your local supplier or veterinarian to learn more about Multi-Min 90. Multi-Min 90, because healthy cattle mean a healthy bottom line. The best way to raise beef on pasture, on crop residue, or in a dry lot, it's Westway Feed Products. Westway liquid supplements support increased forage utilization, efficiency, convenience, and sustainability. Find your nearest rep by calling 800-800-7517 or head to westwayfeed.com on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok. John Fox shares his experience with the demand for his Gelve-influenced cattle.
We've got a reputation. Whenever we sell our cattle, we've got some buyers that want to know when we're going to sell. That's another positive, you know, well, we're going in the right direction. Even in the times whenever there was so many cattle moving, you know, the cow numbers were higher, we still had that demand for our cattle. They have been performing, you know, outside of our realm. And so that's another feather in our hat, I guess you could say.
Learn more about how your crossbreeding counts at Gelve.org.
Cattle Battle.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up radio show. We're starting an early fall series on maximizing your potential profit on feeder calves and management strategies for the cow herd. So make sure you earmark these episodes so you can go back and really dissect the details. Now, let's start on the calf side, the feeder calf side. I know there is always the temptation to cut corners anywhere that we can, but be cautioned when doing so, when doing that. It could go the other way and end up costing more in the long run or down the road. Dr. Kelly Sanders with Westway Feed Products joins us today as we dance with pre-weaning management. Hey, Kelly, great to have you back on the program. There is a temptation by some, perhaps, to just strip those calves off the cow and roll, right? Let's talk about this and how it comes back to the cow and cow herd nutrition and management.
You know, the challenge with, I think, pre-weaning nutrition, and I don't know what it is up in there, but I mean, we don't creep feed calves down here really at all. It really goes back to the mama and how we're taking care of mama, you know. And do you have mineral out for those cows? When you get to this stage of the game in August where grass is drying out typically for us, you know, it's we've grown grass. It's getting kind of rank from the stand because it's dry. And that's where nutrition is really critical down here. Is that kind of what you guys see?
That's exactly, you know, what we're seeing. I agree with you 100%. It comes back to the cow. And, you know, my biggest fear is when somebody is trying to, like you said, just strip those calves, go to town. We didn't pay attention to the cow's nutrition over the summer. That is going to create problems down the road. It's going to create problems this fall, this winter, and it's going to create problems next spring because we didn't set those cows up for success. That's exactly what is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, you got to remember that calf, you know, he starts out and his immunity is going to be pretty high. And then, you know, when they hit probably 250, 300, they start losing a lot of that passive immunity because it's already gone. And by the time they hit 556, they're on their own. And you know, if we don't vaccinate them, we don't take care of them, then we don't have, those calves don't have the tools, you know, immunity-wise, nutrition-wise, to support, you know, any type of challenge that they have. So if you go back to the last drought, whenever calves were still high then, you still had guys that were doing the same thing. And I remember the one particular, I think it was 11, in the middle of that thing, the calves that fall were a wreck everywhere. I had a ton of nutritionists that were consulting, you know, they'd bring all these calves in. And And I knew back then just from our sales of mineral that it was really low. And that's what everybody did. They quit feeding mineral because it's, you know, $35, $40, $50 a bag. Let's not spend our money on that. And it showed up that fall. I mean, there were calf wrecks everywhere and everybody was complaining. And I contributed just going back to that whole pre-calf nutrition, taking care of mama, taking care of calf, especially on the mineral side, things of that nature. And most of those guys, they don't want to feed, you know, like a tub or a liquid or a cube during that late summer where this grass gets rough and milk production drops off in cows whenever you do that. And so the calf's not getting much treated. That forces that calf to go eat that really dry grass, which you just cut his nutrition back a lot.
So now when we're going into, and it's different for everybody, as you and I were talking off air, I mean, the weather this summer has been anything but a normal for a lot of people in cow country. But as we're moving into this time of year, we're typically, we do start to get a little bit on the drier side. So let's talk strategy-wise. What is it that we can do to set those cows up for success? And I'm even going to come back to just pure convenience because, you know, you may have cows spread out in 20 different pastures or something like that. What can we do today before weaning, take care of mama, set those calves up for success, set that cow up for success? What's the, you know, what can we do?
Yeah, you know, I think the one is thinking about, you know, the overall, I think, cow comfort. Are there things that you can help that cow from when it's really hot? Do you have some shade? Do the cows have shade? That's a big piece of it, too, because these cows, and when it's really hot and it's really dry, nutrition is pretty low. Their intakes are lower. Plus, they don't typically graze. I mean, I think most of these guys would notice it when it gets hot early morning. Those cows go lay down, and they don't probably aren't going to graze till later when it actually finally cools off, their body temperature gets down. So that's a consideration. Fresh water is always a consideration. I think those are given. Cows don't travel as far when it's hot. So if you've got really, really big pastures, that's, you know, something to consider is availability of water. You know, that's just starting out with the basics. From a feed perspective, you know, Tigger, I think providing some type of protein supplement for those cows down here, I would tell you it's probably mid-July. And I don't think it's that much different from you guys either, because that's somewhere about middle of July. And it's typically where, you know, I think it's the summer solstice area where daylight and we're starting to actually reduce our day length and things of that mm-hmm. nature. I think that's what I've kind of put in my mind is one of those factors that says that changes grass. I don't have any data to support that. That's just an observation that I've always kind of looked at, and it seems to match up. But it's because it's pretty similar across most of the country. But that's whenever protein drops out of the grass. And then as we get further into August and it stays dry and dries up, then, you know, that grass is more mature. So now we're short a little bit of energy and protein a lot of times as well. So being able to provide those nutrients to that cow from that time on, a lot of times it's going to support milk production because that's the first thing that's going to drop. When you start shorting that cow energy or protein there, you're going to reduce milk production. And if you reduce milk production in a cow, when those calves, you know, they're bigger right now, and let's say their diet is kind of a 60-40 diet, that's still 60% forage, 40%, you know, milk production out of that cow. But now you're forcing it to 80-20 or something like that because that cow's not milking. That calf has to go graze grass. And the other thing to remember on those calves, especially if they're kind of four weights and you're in that situation, those little boogers, rumens aren't big enough yet. They normally have to be 5 to 6 weights before they can really start eating a whole lot more grass. You know, that, and you wonder, why is that the case? Well, it's very evident. What do guys buy? What size calves do people buy when they're going to grass? At least a 5 weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
For summer grass. And it's for that basic reason. They finally have gotten big enough that they can eat enough to actually support them you know, from a nutritional perspective. So those little four weight calves is what I'm trying to say is those little four weight calves, they get hammered really, really hard because they're still dependent on mama's milk. And now you're forcing them to go eat a bunch of crappy grass or doesn't have all the nutrients they need in order to support themselves and keep that kind of 1-8, 2-pound gain where they're going to stay, you know, nutritionally sound and performance is going to continue. So you start limiting all that by forcing them on dry grass, and it all goes back to feeding the mama, right? And as I talked earlier, you know, from a good mineral program, that's the next one. You know, I don't care if it's a dry mineral, as long as they're eating it is the most important thing. You know, we make a liquid feed that's got, you know, good mineral packages in it. There's lots of mineral tubs and things of that nature out there that have good mineral packages. And so having something like that, so when you wean those calves or when those calves go somewhere, they've had the protein, they've had the energy, and they have enough mineral in their system. So now they have all the tools when they have a challenge or they get vaccinated, they can respond correctly. And so thinking about that whole process, I think is really important to pre-weaning nutrition on a cow and a calf that sets those calves up for success. If not, you get cases like you did back in 11 where calves are just compromised and they have health wrecks. And man, today, if you had to buy a set of calves and you bought a bunch of little five weights that brought 1500 to 2 grand, and now you got 20% deads in them, that's a boatload of cash.
So we've really kind of been picking on and using the drought as a scenario. So now let's look at the flip side on this, because there's a lot of people that have excessive moisture out there this year, a little bit different than maybe the norm for a lot of people. Does the same situation apply for that when you've got a lot of water and moisture in the grass that those cattle are grazing?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, what happens is we all know what the grass gets washy. A lot of water, not enough nutrients because it grew so fast. And so you end up with the same scenario. They can still eat a lot of it, but it's in a lot of cases, especially at the later stages, those cattle can still be deficient in protein and things of that nature from especially this late summer standpoint. So tough thing with grass, Tigger, is it's always a moving target. It's never the same every year, right? Because you got drought grass, you got grass that grows with normal rain in the process, and you always get too much grass. And so that's the management side in my view that you have to consider every year on how you need to make adjustments to a feeding program or a mineral I think a good mineral program is getting it out there and leaving it out there, just being consistent all the time. Those cows tend to make adjustments when based on, you know, what the grass is doing, is my experience, after you've had it out for a while. Those cows are, if you don't have mineral out, let's say, and then you get in a situation where it's really washy, like you're talking about, then little girls are going to eat a boatload of mineral because they're for whatever reason, biologically, they're catching up and trying to get back to some type of mineral status biologically, right? And so you can have it both ways, drought or too much. And that's the management that seems like in a lot of the country that we're always dealing with. Do we have too much rain or we don't have enough rain? Rarely do we have that perfect year where grass just grows perfect and everything's good.
Dr. Kelly Sanders with Westway Feed Products. Now, in the next few weeks, we'll tackle protein deficiency with washy grass and how this affects fetal programming, plus herd bull nutrition. As I mentioned earlier, make sure that you earmark these episodes. You've got it parked on the Ranch It Up radio show, and we'll be back after this.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800 422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network, channel 997, and online at sla-tv.com. Sale results, deadlines, and upcoming sale information available at superiorlivestock.com and ranchchannel.com. Selling cattle the superior way.
Ranchchannel.com. Bull sales, Western events, product information right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? Ranchchannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on ranchchannel.com. LivestockMarket.com. We hear from the crew at LivestockMarket.com every week. Bulls, cows, bred heifers, open replacement heifers, cow-calf pairs, feeders and stockers, horses, pigs, goats, sheep, show stock, hay and straw, and even alpacas. All listed on LivestockMarket.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. That time in the program, we check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the markets from last week. So, Kirk, what do you got for us for numbers, buddy?
Well, good morning, Tigger, and all your listeners out there. As of Friday, August 8th, October feeder futures closed the week at 339.22.5. That's up $7.67.5 on the week. And I want our listeners to ponder this for a minute. That's after a limit down close on Friday. So over $9 down on Friday, and we were still $7 higher on the week. That just goes to show how much volatility is in the feeder market right now. The CME feeder index was up $1.32 on the week at 337.21, leaving the basis versus August futures at negative $2.19. October live cattle closed the week at 225.95. That's up $2.42.5 on the week. Same concept as feeders, with a big move lower on Friday. Cash traded 237 early, but with a collapsing board, closed the week at 235. North traded 245 and then 242 late. The five area weighted average was down $2.78 at 239.29, leaving the basis versus August futures at a positive $6.04. Choice boxes were up $15.62. Finally, some good movement in box trade, closing the week at 378.84. The weekly slaughter was 536,000 head. That's 1,000 head above last week and 53,000 head below the same week last year. Dress weights remained at 865 pounds, which is 16 pounds more than this week last year. The combination left yearly production 0.1% lower at 3.6% less than this time last year. To wrap this up, September corn closed the week at 383.25. That's down 6.5 on the week. The weakness continues on the corn charts as we move towards the seasonal August low. There is a USDA report this coming Tuesday.
Now, Kirk, the big discussion last weekend was on Friday when feeders were down $9, but you said they closed out last week $7 higher, and you said, there you go, there's volatility in the feeder cattle market. So, number one, why is there that volatility in the feeder cattle market? And then number two, what does that mean going forward?
The simple answer to why is, I think, simply because how high we are. And anytime you get this high, obviously it's a lot farther to fall, right? So that adds volatility in itself. It's also very scary to do anything when the market's moving $5, $6 day after day higher against the possible short position you put on. And then everybody does know that when the break comes, it's going to be violent and very, very aggressive. What no one knows is that this was the break. I guess time will tell us as we go. As far as what does this mean going forward, I would say it means that a top is getting closer than we may like to accept. Maybe not in price, but in time. And I say that if you think of a wheel bearing, and the faster we go and the wobble starts getting more violent, we know the wheel's coming off. We don't know when, we don't know how much further we can drive with that bad wheel bearing, but we know it's going to break and fail. And this very, very high volatility is very similar to that. We don't know how much higher this market can go, but it has a violent vibration to it right now.
It's the cow-calf producers, time to shine. Hey, hey, I'm Shay Warner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. Marty Ropp shared how technology like Rightbull is making it easier than ever before for cow-calf producers to confidently and accurately select the best bulls for their operation. Here's a small portion of our conversation.
But one of the first risks that you can have is to select what you think is a great bull, what you think is the right bull, or what your seed stock provider says, this bull's a great bull, and not really have any definition for that. Instead of choosing a bull based on how you plan to use him, what traits that you absolutely need from that bull, whether it's more growth or more maternal traits, long-term kind of things like maternal traits, or whether it's, again, short-term terminal kind of decisions, or whether it's a heifer bull. That's the first risk, I think, is not well defining what you're after, and instead just going and picking what you think is a good bull. The opportunity comes, particularly as you begin to define that a little bit more tightly, and then use some new technologies, in this case we're going to talk about right bull, to try to really precision mate, make as precise a decision as you can for the bull that, or bull or bulls that not just fit your goals, but also match your cows.
Listen to the full story by searching for Casual Cattle Conversations on your favorite podcast player. Happy ranching, folks.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Dr. Kelly Sanders with Westway Feed Products, Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, Shay Wanner, Casual Cattle Conversations, and the boss lady, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck.
A big thank you to our partners, RanchChannel.com. Be sure to be checking out the sale reports for all of the Superior Livestock Auctions, Top Dollar Angus Certified Feeder Cattle for sale, and upcoming production sales on RanchChannel.com. Superior Livestock Auction, Wolf Cattle, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Transova Genetics, Top Dollar Angus, Axiota Animal Health, bringing us Multimin and Lactopro, the American Galvey Association, Imogene Ingredients, Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, the Tri-State Livestock News, RFD-TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station.
And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is RanchItUpShow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week, where it's always Tigger Rebecca approved.
Stay ranchy and ranch it up.